Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 239.
Jesus.
Yeah, right? We are in May.
We need a hobby, goddamn.
I think this is a hobby. May, I think, we'll hit 250, which is crazy.
We should celebrate by drinking beer and talking about games.
Wait. Yeah. We do that every Thursday night. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Hello.
And Jeff.
Hey.
Fozzie has abandoned us.
He heard this episode was about news.
He's like, oh, it's a news episode, I'm out.
Like, oh, I have to work.
I never work on Thursday nights, and Fridays are my day off, but I'm out. I have to work. But whatever.
He probably actually has to work.
Yeah, and there actually is a lot of news, so he probably...
He's going to miss out.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. So
we should talk about news that he would like. We should make up stuff like Conker 2 announced.
That kind really?
No, we're making Jeff sad. speaking of Conker... mostly because it's a 3D platformer, though, Jeff. If you played PC games, I hear Grow Home, which is an Ubisoft game, is a title you would like.
Well, maybe they should put it on Xbox or PlayStation.
Yeah,
you should get a PC.
Yeah. Nah, that's never happening.
What?
Consoles for life.
You can have both. It is possible to have both.
It is possible, but I agree with that. But no.
All right. Well, what else is going on in the world of video game news, Tony?
Well, let's reach back to Nintendo's YouTube ad sharing policy, which has a lot of people really angry. Nintendo announced a couple of weeks ago that they will now have a YouTube creators program. Nintendo has previously said that they should get some ad revenue from any YouTube video about one of their games. So they've been making ad requests on everybody's videos whenever they post them. Now the program involves a pre-approval process. So YouTubers would submit their video to Nintendo. And I believe it's supposed to take 3 days. And in this 3 days, Nintendo would approve the video, and then they would start to take a large chunk of the ad revenue for this video. This means that Nintendo is screening all the videos that feature its products that go up on YouTube. This does not include reviews, which fall under fair use, but it really... applies to things like Let's Plays,
right?
Because those are featuring like large sections of game content, like consecutive moments.
It just seems so backwards that you go about, since every other developer and publisher is like reaching out open arms to these guys.
For a company that has not had a good swath of PR, like Nintendo's PR has been horrific over the past several years.
Yeah.
Just to step back and take a swing at people who just want to sit and play your games and make videos of them is not a good idea. Because all you're doing is going to have these people just play someone else's games. Like, you're not going to get more revenue out of this. These people are just going to say, okay, well, I can just play Call of Duty or something else that people will sit and watch me play. I don't understand what Nintendo's goal with this kind of process is. It seems very muddled. It seems to me like whoever came up with this policy doesn't understand what they're making the policy about.
The funniest thing I saw was that if you like did Let's Plays of content other than Nintendo, they wouldn't share profit with you. They were like, you know, that's what they were going to do, is share profit with you or whatever off of YouTube.
Right.
If you had stuff from, like, other publishers or whatever, then they wouldn't fucking, they wouldn't work with you on that.
So you'd have to have, like, your own special Nintendo channel?
Yeah, basically, yeah. I didn't read the whole article, but that's the headline.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
it's really weird. Luckily, we don't have any way to actually make video content for Nintendo games, so...
Right, it's hard. You can't do it through your Wii U, so you have to set up, like, a camera or something.
Or, like, buy, like, an external...
Right.
Like, capture device, and... weird.
Really. Which, weird. I guess if you're like, professionally streaming games for revenue, then you might have one of those anyway.
Yeah.
But silly, absolutely silly process. A terrible, terrible idea.
Yeah, I'm just perplexed by some of the decisions they make, so...
Well, apparently Nintendo is very hierarchical. Like, a small number of people in that company make a lot of the decisions, and they're all, at this point, very old people who don't understand things like the internet. Like, they don't get Twitter, they don't get YouTube, and I don't know. They're just frightened of it. And they're like, oh, this is a revenue stream for us. They don't really understand what they're saying when they do that.
Right. Oh, well. What's next on the news list?
Well, let's stick with this, the theme of people not really understanding what they're talking about. Turkey, the nation of Turkey, not the bird, is investigating Minecraft over claims that the game is too violent. They have a... They've been cracking down in Turkey on a lot of things, and currently the country's family and policies minister has expressed some concern that Minecraft is just too violent. So they're in the process of examining the game and playing it and seeing if it should be banned. Oddly, Minecraft is often cited in Turkey for its educational value. There's a special version of the game that they use in their schools. So
we're gonna ban it though, because it's way too violent.
They've banned some other games recently in Turkey. They've just kind of
Minecraft though. That's obvious.
Obviously, target. Obviously, if you're looking at violent games, the first one that comes to mind is Minecraft.
Yeah, bro, like right up there next to Tetris.
That pixel blood is awful.
Yes. Maybe Pong as well. Ban that. I don't know. I don't. I guess I kind of get it on some level. Like, their culture is far different from ours. But that kind of what's holding everything back. Like, I mean, I guess it's not Syria, so, or Saudi Arabia or something like that. So yeah, it is close, but not quite there yet, so... yes, we should ban Minecraft.
You know what'll probably happen? They'll just make everybody play in like the peace mode or the creative mode, so there's no monsters.
Yeah, they'll get rid of all that. We won't ban it. We'll just, you have to play this watered down version of it.
Right.
Kind of like how games have to be released in Germany and stuff with no blood and.
Right. No Nazi symbols.
In Germany?
Oh, yeah. In Germany, well, yeah, like as Tony just said, no Nazi, any Nazi stuff, like, you can't have any of that.
It's actually a big deal for the strategy community.
Never
because
happened.
So many of the games that are strategy games that are made in Europe, And so, in accordance with EU rules, they have to release games that are about World War II that feature Germany. And they have, like, everybody else's flags are all set. And the German flags are always, like, the modern German flag because they can't use the swastika. Looks so funny.
Yeah. And then Gears released there. The chainsaw, when you would chainsaw through the locust guys, it would just be sparks that shot up into the sky.
It shoots out rainbows.
Yeah.
Rainbows.
It's ridiculous.
Rainbows of beheading.
It's crazy what people pick on about video games. Like, although we pick on dumb shit here too, so.
That's true. And you gotta figure in Germany there's been times when they've done that kind of thing for fun. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, true. They do have a history of some atrocious crap, so. Maybe don't give them any ideas.
You don't want to awaken the German. Oh, let's not go there.
Yeah. Let's move on to a different news story.
Assassin's Creed, the movie, is entering production. And it's supposedly going to release in December of 2016.
Yay!
I know you guys are thrilled.
So next December, so that's a good almost 2 years of before it comes out. Who's in this movie?
Michael Fassbender.
Okay. If you saw the most recent X-Men movies, he played Magneto.
Yeah, and he's the lead in this movie.
Yeah, he was a young Magneto, so he's a pretty good actor, I guess.
Yeah,
sure.
Have they announced what the storyline for it is, or like?
I don't think we know anything about it. We know that the lead actor and the director, who is Justin Kurzel.
That's not a name that immediately springs anything in my head.
He actually directed the upcoming Michael Fassbender movie, Macbeth. So.
Yay.
Okay.
I know nothing excites you guys more than Shakespeare. So.
Yes. It's... Love us some Shakespeare.
I'll shake to that. But I was making fun of this movie earlier today because I'm just trying to picture the way they've always made the Assassin's Creed games with like the old setting, and then they're always like switching back.
Right, to the modern, like, to kind of get... I haven't played Unity yet. I don't know what they do for that, but it was less of it in 4 than... Like, it was there, but it seemed less, like, the... Less important to the overall.
So I've actually been playing Unity lately. I'm up to Sequence 5, so I've got, like, I don't know, maybe 6-7 hours in. I spent a lot of time wandering around. But the new stuff actually doesn't feature very much. There are moments when the game, like, hearkens to it. But even those gameplay moments, it's like the people in the modern age will be talking to the person who's controlling Arno.
Okay.
And having him do things. And Arno will get, like, accidentally moved into a different era for a little while and then, like, have to jump through a portal to get back to where he's supposed to be.
Weird.
Yeah, it's implemented really strangely.
I'm probably, like, the only person that actually enjoyed the Desmond storyline, although it got really weird, like, after Assassin's Creed, like, Brotherhood. But
there are reasons for that.
Yeah. And then it got really, like, really, really weird once it ended, and they kind of, like, 4 was strange because that whole sequence takes place in first person, and you're not, it's not the Desmond storyline, although they make reference to it. You're just, like, a game designer for, it's so strange.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll just cut that stuff out.
And in 4, it made so little sense. like you didn't understand what your motivation was to be helping the assassins, or
right,
like why am I suddenly betraying these people who hired me to do this job? Like I never got that.
Yeah, at least the Desmond stuff, like as maybe as dumb as it turned out, like there was motivations and reasons for why things happened, and why you weren't doing that, like why you were in the Animus and what was going on. Like it got really weird once all that stuff got done. And
like, what do we do with it now? I think that's where they are. They're just lost.
Yeah, it's like, and why are we even exploring that? Because, like, why are we exploring, what was it, Kent Kenway or
right,
whoever the guy it wasn't for? Like, because that actually still tied in with like the Desmond line. Like, it was really strange. Yeah, I'll be interested to see what they do.
Michael Fassbender as Desmond, and you're like, no,
yeah,
no.
Although, like, maybe better than him being, like, Altair or...
Yeah. Just pick somebody. There are so many, like, references in the games to assassins from other eras and other places. Just pick one of them, please. Please.
And just stay in the back. Like, you can, like, sell it however you want, but...
Oh, they're not going to. You know they're not going to, though. There's no way they can...
It'll be bad.
Yeah.
I'll watch it though. I've watched worse.
I have no hope.
No. It'll be one of Earl's Friday night bad movies that he makes a drinking game to. Is there any other Assassin's Creed news? I thought I saw some other stuff.
Like Ubisoft sales figures from the fourth quarter.
There was that.
Apparently, the two games that the two Assassin's Creed games, so Unity and Rogue, shipped about the same number of copies as Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag did.
I heard a lot of people kind of crapping on those numbers, but it makes sense in some way because 4 was on everything.
Yeah.
And Unity was only on next gen and PC, and Rogue was only on the last. So they still hit the same audiences. It was
yeah. They were just divided.
Yeah.
By console.
It didn't grow.
But, no, it didn't shrink, I suppose.
But flat sales for that series, that's still not bad.
Right. Plus, Ubisoft had a huge fourth quarter because of. Namely, Far Cry 4, which shipped 7 million copies.
People like some Far Cry.
Yes. I think I have to buy this game now that I know that people love it so much. I guess Fozzie picked it as his game of the year.
Yeah, Jeff did not like it as much, right?
No, I'm sorry, I actually like Dying Light more than it. I texted you last night, Chris, about Dying Light. I think I like it more than I even said last night.
It grows on you.
It does, yeah.
I think once like you really start to get the hang of the parkour stuff and understanding what you need to be doing in the world, it gets really cool. And the day night cycle is cool. So
yeah, I sold it short when I first started playing it.
It feels a lot like Dead Island. At the start.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah, it does.
This dead island in a city, okay. Which, to be fair, was the least interesting part of Dead Island when you go into the town, like that second act part of thing. It's like, okay, but there's more to Dying Light than what Dead Island was, so.
And as far as it compares to the Far Cry, like, Far Cry 4 feels very similar to Far Cry 3. And fucking Dying Light is definitely feels like a unique game. Like once you start to get into it, like I don't know, something different about that game.
Tony didn't play Far Cry 3 though, right?
I played like the first 2 hours of it.
Yeah,
I think
I
that's
played enough
game.
That game.
That or Blood Dragon, dude. That I honestly was like probably the best Far Cry game.
Blood Dragon was fun.
Yeah.
Weird, but but fun.
But, you know, it's basically Far Cry with, like, a really cool setting, you know?
Yeah. And
shorter.
And shorter. Like, it's not a 30-hour game. It's a 7-hour game, so.
Which is perfect.
Yeah.
Right. I think nowadays I would prefer that, like, if the storylines are only, like, 7 hours long. The odds of me ever finishing a 30-hour quest line ever again are very slim.
Yeah, because, I mean, it takes months to make it through, like, I don't know if I'll ever finish Dragon Age. Like,
I don't know either.
I don't think I'll ever go back to it.
It's just so much. And all right, maybe the next Fallout or the next Skyrim, like that'll be something that like definitely sit down and devote a ton of time to. But I don't know. I think I'm with you, Tony. Like these, you know, 30, 40-hour campaigns, they're too long.
They are. Like I can. If I stretch, I can get like maybe 2 hours of gaming in a night. If a game is 30 hours long, that means it's the only thing I play for like the next 3 weeks.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
And like if you're playing new games as they come out, like the only time you ever have to do that is in January and February.
Right. And then, play that and play nothing else. Yeah, that's not
maybe gonna happen. Maybe like June and July. Like,
right.
Oh well. What else we got going on?
Let's see. Evolve launched this. Was it this past week or the week
before? Yeah, this week.
There's some DLC for Evolve.
A lot of
DLC for Evolve. In fact, if you pay for the $25 season pass for Evolve, there is still. What is it? $75 worth of DLC that's not covered by the season pass.
Awesome.
Yes.
And what is in the season pass? Because everything that Turtle Rock has said about the game is that any new maps or new modes are going to be free. So is it just cosmetic stuff that is in the season pass and that's all they're selling?
There's lots of skin. Let's see, 24 skins
for like the monster,
for the monsters and for the people. I don't know. I saw like there were like 6 or 7 different versions of the game you could buy too.
Yeah. I think Don will be playing that for review for us, but I have very little interest in it.
And yeah, me too, unfortunately.
Hearing all this like nonsense with all these, you know, nickel and diming skin packs, and like I guess you don't really need it to play the game, but
that should be in there. I mean, DLC should be real DLC. That's bullshit.
There were a lot of developers, too, blaming used games on Evolve's. It was used games' fault that Evolve had to come up with this weird DLC policy.
But I mean, like, I don't know. Like, this really, it kind of reeks of, like, mobile and free-to-play game.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine. You want to do that in a free-to-play game? Whatever. Fine. Like, hit me up for that stuff. Like, there. Like, if I want to. If I think your game's worth it, I'll throw some money your way. But like you're charging me $60 and now like to get all this other crap you want another $60. Right. I guess I don't need to buy any of it, but it's weird.
Yeah, I think that hits the nail on the head. There are just too many AAA games that are like, okay, and we're gonna implement this free to play model on top of it. So you can pay all this money and get this other stuff too. It's just like, okay, if you're giving me new like gameplay missions, I don't know, like another 6 hour block of content that I didn't have before, great.
Yeah.
If you're just like tossing skins at me or like Assassin's Creed with the chests, like I don't want to pay extra money for that crap.
Right, that should be in the game.
Yeah, that's just fleecing me. That's what? Taking stuff that I should have already and slapping a dollar amount on it.
And that was stuff that used to be in the game, like,
yeah,
like, like, all right, you did this well. Like, you got 100 kills as this hunter. We're going to give you this skin. Or you do this in Resident Evil and you unlock this skin for Jill.
Yeah.
Or this skin for Chris. Like, it, like, just imagine, like, oh, you don't need to do that in the game. You could just buy this stuff now, like, if you want.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird.
In fact, you can't do that in the game.
It's not an option. It's not an option. Just buy it. Buy it. You want extra
costumes? Right. Yeah. It's not even earn it. Like, there's no. And I think that's what kind of, like, gets at me is, like, I'd rather, like, all right, like, give me the chance to earn it, though. Like,
right. Like, give me the option.
Right. Like, hey, that's really cool. Like, either let me buy it or let me earn it. Like, I don't know. Because there will always be people that will, sure, give me the unlocks. Like, EA does it with Battlefield all the time. Like, the shortcuts. Like, mm-hmm. It'll basically max out. It'll give you the experience you need to max out the class and get all the weapons for it. And, I mean, there's people that do that. They'll pay $5 to, like, get all the engineer weapons or whatever. It's like, but I want to work my way through it. And they give you that option. This is just like, hey, give us money or don't play with these skins. How about I just don't play your game?
I know, it's getting pretty decent reviews, but...
It is. It's... For me, I can't speak to anybody else that's apprehensive about it, but... It being a co-op competitive game, it strikes me as you would need 4 or 5 other people to play with, like, that you're consistently going to be playing with, as opposed to, like, Titanfall, which is a multiplayer-only game, but it's competitive-only, and I can boot up Titanfall and have a good time by myself.
Just play it, yeah.
Whereas a cooperative game, you want people that, like, jumping into a cooperative game with randoms is always a nightmare.
Yeah.
Which is why I need somebody to play Assassin's Creed Unity with me. Just throwing that out there.
I don't have it yet, so...
Damn it! Chris, pick it up.
Fozzie has it.
I think we all need to play Dying Light together. I'm really enjoying that game, honestly.
I'd play cooperative Dying Light with you and Fozzie.
Tony, you get to play as well.
Could invade your game. Tony doesn't like zombies.
Doesn't matter. He likes parkour. Come on.
I do like parkour.
But you hate first person platforming.
Which is basically what the game is.
Yeah,
if it were in third person, you might have me, but first person.
It's Mirror's Edge with zombies and, like, a Fallout style RPG system. Like an open world Fallout type game with Mirror's Edge handling and.
And you know what? It's got great music.
Yeah, the music is fantastic. Like, I will just boot up the game and listen to the menu music.
Yeah, it's,
like,
really
it's
good.
So good. Anything else going on? What else we got for news?
I guess we should talk about Peter Molyneux and Goddess.
This is Jeff's story of the week, right
here. Tony already sounds like he read more on it than me.
All right, so Peter Molyneux's studio published this game, Curiosity, which was about, I never played it, but
tapping on the screen. It wasn't a game. Like, it was, yeah, you're exactly right, Tony. It was a cube of some sort, and you tapped on it, and it would unlock layers. And it was just like a community thing where you tap on it, and eventually somebody got to the middle, and, like, once you get to the middle of the Tootsie Roll, like, you won. And there was only one winner.
And somebody did win, and his name was Brian Henderson, and he was 19 years old at that point, and he got to, among other things, meet Peter Molyneux, who told him that he would receive a life-changing prize, and... This prize was that he would be declared God of Gods in 22 Can's next game, which was Goddess, a strategy game about being a god. And during his time as God of Gods, he would receive revenues from the game. He would get actually a royalty check for whatever the game had earned during that period. This was contingent on the game receiving its multiplayer component, and people being able to fight for the title of God of Gods. Well, it's been 20 months, and he's gotten absolutely nothing. He's apparently emailed 22 Cans repeatedly. They haven't responded to any of his communications. And the development of Goddess has not gone very well. There's no combat in the game currently. There's no multiplayer component. And much of the team that was working on the game has moved on to a different project. So they're not sure that this game will ever be finished. Which is a separate issue entirely, but we can also talk about that.
Well, because technically it's out of early access on Steam, right? So it's considered a finished game.
Let me look at my... because I have it on Steam. I got it on a Humble Bundle sale for like $5. I have it installed on my computer. I played it for like 20 minutes. I think it might still be in early access, though.
That's something Valve needs to work on.
Yep, it's still in early access.
So it's not a complete game, and as you said, it might not ever be a complete game.
Right. It was also a Kickstarter title, and multiplayer and combat were part of the things that the game promised on Kickstarter. So not only is it not fulfilling the promise of early access, but it's also betraying its Kickstarter promises.
And that poor boy's promises.
And this poor boy, however, there's a happy ending. Developer of another game has decided to include him as God of Gods in his game. And they've already worked everything out, and he's already in the game. The game is nearing release, so I don't think he's going to get any money out of it, but he will be in a video game as God of Gods.
Fuck yeah.
Well, that's kind of cool. Like,
I'd take it.
Right?
That's history, man. Give me in history books.
Yes.
Did any of you guys read the... I mean, I'm guessing Jeff didn't because he had only read the headline. But, Tony, did you read the original... I think it was Eurogamer or the actual kind of...
this poor kid.
Yeah.
Like, getting all this press, like, all these people contacting him.
And then, like, he... like. 22 Can like flew him out to their studio, and he got there and like he met Peter Molyneux for like 5 minutes, and then they made him play the game for like 3 hours,
and he's like, he's getting bored. He's like, this is all right. I mean,
I didn't want to be rude, but I didn't really like it. and then they took him to a bar and then just like left him and his buddy there by themselves, and like
they got to drink with the intern
time.
And they all like heads back, and Peter Molyneux was supposed to come to the bar and never did.
He never showed up. Yeah, it's like that whole thing is like, wow, that's a nightmare.
Like, this is like how I imagine Peter Molyneux, though, like the guy who always does stuff never does.
I swear I'll be there. It's gonna be a magical evening. Sorry.
Yes, and this will be life-changing for you. Yep, it was life-changing.
It reminded me that my life sucks.
There was that one time you flew me out to your game studio and made me play your bad game.
It was a magical experience of playing your bad game and being ignored at the bar. It was wonderful.
I have those memories, and it did change my life. So
I got to give an interview to Eurogamer. People wrote about me.
Well, at least he doesn't seem kind of like... I mean, like, there are other people that will be like, rah, they owe me this. Like, he just... like, whatever. I've kind of forgotten about it.
Right. It's like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
I don't...
Well, Peter Molyneux.
He's still a cock after all these years.
Yep. Promising too much and delivering not anywhere close to that. So
yeah, I kind of want to go back and play some Goddess to see where it is right now. I gotta admit, when I played it wasn't very much fun. There just wasn't very much game. It was just kind of doing stuff, and they haven't implemented the story yet. Like, they keep talking. He gave, like, because this goes back to, like, a post made by the lead developer of Goddess, of the two people who are still working on the damn game, who's like, you know, I don't think any of this stuff's ever going to happen. So Peter Molyneux had to give, like, a mea culpa interview and promise all this other stuff that probably will never happen. But he says they're going to implement a story in the game, and then they're going to add the combat, and then they're going to work out what the multiplayer is. But I don't think any of that will ever happen. I bet 22 Cans goes out of business before that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, he's a big name developer, and he's kind of shit on the Kickstarter thing. Like, say what you will about Tim Schafer, but at least he delivered something.
And Peter Molyneux doesn't have a big, like, publisher or...
No.
He had Microsoft behind him before. He doesn't have that now. He doesn't have that net. Like, his company can't dry up if he runs it poorly, and it doesn't sound like he's running it very well.
No. The sad thing is, though, somebody with his name, like, you know, if he does, this does dry up or whatever, there is a publisher developer out there that will pick him up and make him the face of their games. And...
Right. He's also been around forever. I'm sure he's piles of money.
Yeah, because, I mean, he's the guy behind Populous, I think, and
the original God game.
Yeah, and then and Populous, Black and White. And
Black and White, Fable.
Yeah.
Like, he's done some stuff.
Yeah.
It's all gotten worse over time. But...
Yeah. Fable 2 was pretty good. But...
Ah.
I know you're not a fan, Jeff.
I love the ending, by which I mean the game just ended.
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Awesome.
I hit a button and I won.
So I was at least happy that it finally happened. 5 hours in.
That game was really short, wasn't it?
Yeah. Hmm. It's horrible.
Stephen Fry, though. Stephen Fry.
Sure.
All right, what's next?
That was the last bit of news I had, other than Joystick is now gone.
Yeah.
R.I.P. There is a new partnership venture between... I'm going to get this wrong. It's Joystick X...
Is it Engadget?
Engadget, yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I guess, like... They're both owned by AOL, right? So
right.
They just kind of combine the two and
right. They took over the Twitter account and their streams. So it's going to be more of a like a gamer service and less of a news site.
Okay.
I think that was their. Which kind of saddens me because I love Joystick for its news. That was the thing I always reached for. Like, we're doing the news podcast this week, and I'm like, okay, where do I go for news? And I have no idea what to look at. Lost in the world without Joystick. I don't want to go to IGN.
Oh, no.
No, you don't.
I was kind of left with GameSpot or Polygon, because, I mean, what else is there? Gamer Ranks? Like, there are some other sites, but...
Yeah... Like I mean, in terms of the ones that are going to get you the news, like GameSpot's right. Probably the best, and I like Polygon for more of their editorial stuff. Like, although even some of that, I don't know. Like they
right, they're getting a little out there with some of it. It's,
yeah,
I think they've gotten too many views from it, so now they try to throw it out there all the time. Saying things that aren't maybe not necessarily controversial, but like stirring the pot, because they know people will read it.
Yeah,
they put out an editorial today about Sonic's not hip anymore. I mean, come on, that's bullshit.
No, Jeff, that's correct.
That's actually true.
I actually commented on that.
We're saying they're getting a little edgy there.
I commented on that article, thinking back, maybe Sonic was never really good.
Right.
Maybe
I don't know.
Oh.
I mean, like I have this wonderful nostalgia for at least the first two Sonic games, and I'm just like wondering if I look back though, if like are they actually good games, or was it they had some good elements and we didn't really have a whole lot else to play at that time? And Sega was shoving it down our throats, going, this is our Mario killer.
I don't know, I've replayed them a bunch, and I think, honestly, Sonic the Hedgehog, the original, feels really ancient. Like, it, there's a huge difference between 1 and 2. Like, 2 is still fun to play, I think.
Okay.
But, yes, I do think that, like, even as the series went on in the 16-bit generation, it kind of lost a little bit, where it was like, it's not a real Mario competitor, you know?
No. And then, once it moved, like, once it got to the Dreamcast with Sonic Adventure.
Yeah. And there's some of these kids, like, that was, like, the big one that they love, like, or, like, the first 3D ones, and it's like, why? They're not good at all.
Yeah. I mean, I actually thought Generations was pretty good, and heard good things about Colors, but, like, when you look at it, most of the Sonic games probably aren't good. Like, at least when compared to other platforming games of that era, and they're, you know, their contemporaries throughout the years, so like that's why kids don't like it though, because one, Sonic games today aren't good for the most part, and they have so many choices too. Like,
I agree 100%. Yeah, I have bought a lot of them. I've still played.
Oh, me too.
Sonic.
Yeah, it's like,
so, I'm not a hater on it, but it's 100% true that like they're not great.
It's just like, I think we buy them, Jeff, because it's like we want to get that. We want to get that feeling of when we first played it.
Like, that little rush where you start running, and like you're actually having fun for a second, and then you fly off the edge of the stage.
And then it's like, oh god, this is awful. It's like, but it was there. There was a fleeting moment where I felt it again. Yeah. it's like a heroin. Like,
we're
like
chasing
heroin.
That dragon.
Yeah, exactly.
He was never fast. I think that's what it was in the original games. Like, it was just an illusion of fast, and now you expect him to be actually fast, and it's not possible for a person to play a game with that speed.
No, that's spot on with that too, because like those games weren't incredibly fast; they looked fast, and there was an illusion of speed. Except now, like, we kind of expect real speed, like, and Sonic running that fast would be crazy, and those trying to do it at that speed isn't fun, which is why I think Generations worked really well, because it gave you that illusion. But
all the 3D seconds were kind of on rails, and then like for more platforming it would go to 2D. I don't know.
I thought that worked really well, like, but still, I mean, not a great game by any stretch. Not when you compare it to, like, Mario Galaxy or Galaxy 2 or, well, any Mario game ever.
Generations is classic. Come on.
Yeah.
I do really like the game. I'm not going to, like, sit here and try to defend it, but I fucking love it.
So did you read their other editorial piece they had on Polygon today, Jeff, about how Majora's Mask is better than Ocarina of Time?
Well, that's 100% accurate.
Not, but whatever.
I have not read that, but like, that statement is true.
No, Majora's Mask is terrible.
Dude, I don't think you know what you're talking about there.
Although I contend that every 3D Zelda except for Wind Waker is not particularly great either, so.
Majora's Mask is magical. Have you played Majora's Mask?
Have you,
like,
I have. You have to keep switching the masks. I don't know.
Have you done the entire thing?
No, it's annoying and frustrating, and I didn't like it.
Man, that's the best Zelda ever.
You're the best Zelda ever, Jeff.
Yes,
I'm so excited.
Well, I have a couple pieces of news here.
Oh no,
Jeff, you may be interested in this one.
Conker?
No, but a new studio called Playtonic.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring this up.
Yeah, which is formed by old guys who worked on the N64 team for Rare.
Yeah.
Conker. Conker, Banjo. They are making a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes, I did see that story. Yeah. It made me smile. Is this like their first game too, or have they done some other games?
I believe it's their brand new studio, I think. So
yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah.
It's going to suck. Oh, sorry.
They were... they were actually laid off from Rare last year, I think.
Wow, they've been here all that time.
So it's not the old school Rare. Yeah. Now I'm a little scared.
Well, these are the guys that were on... They had been with Rare since the N64 days. So they were like, they've been there all that time. So they've been there when they made Nintendo games.
So they're the last of the old guard.
Or, like, some of them at least. So that's pretty cool.
I'm excited, dude.
The one guy, Chris Sutherland, one of the coders, he worked on Donkey Kong Country on the Super Nintendo. So, and the other guy, Gavin Price, he worked on Perfect Dark and Banjo and Conker's Bad Fur Day. So, there you go, Jeff. I mean,
even if it's bad, it's a new 3D platformer, which we don't get too many of. You also saw 2D ones.
Yeah, there's a lot of 2D ones now, so some of which are good, some not so much. I had another piece of news. I am drawing a blank on what it was though. So
New Conquer,
you heard that?
Yeah.
I don't think that's real, but
if you say it enough times, it's true.
I don't think that's how it works. Really wish I had written down this other one, because it was a... Oh, well. Thought it would have been interesting.
But... The Conquer IP has been purchased by Sega.
Sega!
It's going to star Sonic the Hedgehog.
Speaking of Sega, Jeff will be happy to know that Alien Isolation sold about 1.7 million copies or something like that. So
pretty successful.
Yeah, I mean, one of Sega's more successful games last year for sure.
Yeah,
but a game technically not made by Sega.
Right,
made by one of their affiliate studios.
Yeah, made by Creative Assembly, but
yeah.
Who has a new game out? Did it just come out now, or
Tuesday? Yeah. Total War Attila.
Yeah, are you going to be playing that?
Oh yes.
Battlefield Hardline. I think it was Hardline, right? That's the new one.
Yes.
That evidently had 7 million players play it. Our resident Battlefield fan did not enjoy it. So,
oh no.
I'm waiting to hear. He said he's writing up an article for us on it. He has lots of complaints.
Oh, no. I downloaded the beta, but I never played it. It's like 10 gigs, too.
Yeah.
At least it's the thought that counts on that.
Telltale is evidently creating their own IP. More announcements on that at some point, but
man, they're a busy bunch. Like, I'm just imagining this studio like just expanding exponentially every 6 months or something.
Pretty soon they'll be as big as Ubisoft, and
they seem to have like a new game every fucking month. Like, all right, we got Game of Thrones and Wolf Among Us, etc. Like,
they got all this money and all these games. Why are their games still so janky? God damn
it! That's a legit question. They're great, like, but it's just like accepted fact at this point that they're like technically, I don't know, fucked up.
I was listening to the Giant Bombcast and they were kind of talking about this, or it was either them or Rebel FM, and they were talking about how like it's kind of just Telltale just ignores the fact that that's just those are issues with our games, whatever. Almost in the same way that Bethesda kind of ignores some of the issues with their open world games. Like, yeah, whatever. It's janky as fuck, but go to town. Except, you know, these Telltale games are, kind of require them to work right. They're not open world. And
yeah, it's like the story. Like, if you're trying to watch a movie, it's all like skipping and shit. Like,
yeah,
you know, like it does really fucked up things. And like when it transitions cuts in a certain scene, like sometimes it'll just be like the sound will be off for a second, or it'll skip a couple times. Like, that's horrible, dude. When you're, like, this all story.
Yep. I don't know. I like their games, but I'm. Can see where Tony's coming from. I think they need to clear that shit up.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that. There's just no excuse.
Maybe get themselves on a new engine or something.
They're not a small indie studio anymore. Like, I get that's where they came from, but it's time to, like, they've made it. It's time to graduate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Evidently, Netflix is looking into making a Legend of Zelda TV show.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I'd watch it. I'd watch at least the first couple episodes, see what I think.
Right, I mean, I have Netflix, so... That's a weird one, though.
How do you capture the magic of puzzle solving? Like, will the show have puzzle solving? That's even the question. Is there just going to be like this, like Game of Thrones light, like PG-13 Game of Thrones?
What
it's going to be?
It's like, how do you stretch that out too? Because like every Zelda is basically the same, right? It's just a retelling,
yeah,
in a different
a very
setting,
simple
like,
story.
Like, so do you have one?
How do you
season?
Make it? How do you like, make it an interesting story? It's like,
right? It's classic, there aren't good characters.
It's just classic hero saves the princess. You know, like, it's not a good story. There's nothing to it, honestly.
There's three characters, like, at best. Like, there's Link, there's Zelda, and there's Ganon. Like,
and Tingle.
Great, and Tingle.
But yeah, you know what I mean? Like, there's not... The story's not that good. It's just kind of a generic fantasy story, you know?
It's like, here's this elf boy, and he's going to save the elf princess against the big demon dude, and we're gonna, you know, there's gonna be like 8 dungeons, and gotta get all the pieces of the Triforce, and gotta get the hookshot, and this and that, and
like I would watch it. You know what? The first season should just be like each episode him getting a new weapon. Like the end of episode 6 is him. Like the final shot is him like pointing his fucking grapple shot at something, right, and like pulling himself off to the next ledge. That'd be awesome, dude.
Well, how long are these episodes? Like,
but that's like the big dramatic end. Is he opens a chest like at the end of each episode, and like, you know, and like the season finale, he's shooting himself out of there with the grapple hook.
That sounds terrible.
It's gonna be great.
I hope that doesn't come to pass. that sounds. I don't know. Maybe they should just hire you as a showrunner, Jeff.
He beats a boss every episode.
EA kind of hinted that Titanfall 2 may be in development.
I'm shocked.
Right? And that it probably will not be platform exclusive this time, which also not
surprise.
Shocking. I mean, Microsoft would really have to dump a really big load of money this time. I mean, there's like, what, almost 20 million PS4s out there right now. And
right. It's hard to avoid that market.
Yeah, and I mean, Microsoft's well over 10. You have over 30 million consoles out there to sell Titanfall 2. You're not going to pick, you know, even half of that. Like, I'm only going to sell to half of these people. You're going to try and sell to the most you can. So, I don't know what's going on next week. there any new games coming out?
Total War Attila.
On Tuesday, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So I think Jeff's game comes out on Friday.
Which one is that?
Kirby.
And Majora's Mask.
Oh, yes, well, that Majora's Mask comes out this Friday. Comes out the day this... like, Majora's Mask is...
It's tomorrow. Out today.
Today, yes, today.
It's today.
I thought Kirby was, too.
I did, too, but then I checked, and it doesn't come out till next Friday. And I was like, well, that will mean I won't get it right away, because I'm going to be playing The Order, which comes out on that Friday as well, the 20th. So I guess I'll just continue to play Resident Evil Revelations on my 360. And Jeff will continue to play Dying Light. So Tony will have the only one that has new games to play. We'll have to come up with something. Maybe we'll come up with a topic or something we can talk about.
I'll just talk about Dying Light for a couple of hours. I'll just be like, yeah, it's pretty good. But, like, I don't know. I liked it. Like, I'll just say that for 3 hours.
Just say that over and over. Yeah. How about I just cut that part out and I just use that for the podcast next week? I just loop it for 3 hours. And then we won't have to record. Let's see. I don't know what's going to be on the site next week. I believe Don is writing up a review for Risk. I bet that's a thrilling review. Board game. Tony, did you end up downloading that?
Yeah, I played Risk against Don. It didn't go well for Don. we played a one-on-one game, and I crushed him pretty quickly. And then we played a game. It was the two of us and then three AI bots. The bots all outlived Don. But I did conquer the world. So if you go on my feed on Xbox One, you can see me conquering the world. It's nice. Well, I'll
have to check that out. So there will be a review of Risk, probably a review of Game of Thrones Episode 2. Hopefully our power rankings after Jeff and Fozzie get them in.
Jeff!
I have to look at what mine were, because like, mine would not have changed. I don't think Dying Light would be on my top 10.
Mine didn't change. I just copy-pasted mine from
there. I figured, there was only one game that came out last month, so...
Dude, I know top 10 is going to be crowded, so...
Oh, yeah, there's a ton of games coming out. I'll harass Fozzie tomorrow about it, and hopefully we can publish that, and, provided there are no complaints with the list I'm putting together for... top 10 RPGs from last gen that you should play. That should be going up on Tuesday. We'll come up with something ridiculous to talk about next week. Maybe beer and whiskey and stuff. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.